Programme Officer for the GLA.
Thank you very much. I'll take us through a little bit of what has happened in London and where we think we might be going next. And I've got quite a few slides, but I will try and rattle through them, mindful of the time. I think the starting point, and somebody else did flash up part of this, the starting point is London Plan Policy 513, called Sustainable Drainage, which has been in the London Plan under both of the mayoral regimes that we've had since 2004, other than one or two little typographical things, unchanged. And very much, I think, this sets out broadly what we've been talking about in terms of sustainable rainwater management, i.e. trying to use the water for some specific purposes at the top and discharging into sewers at the bottom and a range of intermediate options. What I can say is I look at all of the large-scale developments in London. They all have to be referred to the mayor, and they come across my desk. And since we've had this policy, slowly but steadily, we've been seeing an improved performance against this. And I can now say that almost every one of those big planning applications will achieve a minimum of a 50% reduction on the pre-existing rainwater discharge into the drainage or sewerage networks. And quite a few of them, even in some relatively densely built-up areas, are achieving greenfield runoff rates. And you know the sorts of scale of developments I'm talking about, those referred to the mayor, over 150 homes, or there are other equivalents for the likes of commercial and retail developments. So you know this is starting to have quite a significant effect on new developments. As I say, that's quite a high threshold. The National Planning Policy Framework, the guidance for that was changed as of April this year, and that's also brought in a requirement that smaller scale developments over 10 residential units have to be looked at by an organisation called the Lead Local Flood Authority, which in London is the London Boroughs. So the Planning Authority is the London Borough and the Lead Local Flood Authority is the London Borough. So we will start to see this figure. I think it's probably fair to say we're still in a sort of learning phase, but that will start to have an impact on those smaller scale areas. The Mayor's London Plan identifies 38 large scale areas across London that he's called opportunity areas. This is where we'll see thousands of new homes or jobs built into the existing fabric of London. And we've recognised that for some of these, there are particular challenges in how both water supply and rainwater and sewerage drainage infrastructure are managed. The first two that we've identified, Vauxhall Nine Elms, Battersea and Old Oak Common, we've commissioned consultants to supply us with an integrated water management study to work out how best can water be captured, utilised, attenuated or diverted so that the impact on both the water supply and the drainage system is minimised. And I do expect that we'll be looking at some of the other of the 38 opportunity areas. It is probably worth saying that London as a city is growing pretty rapidly at a rate of close to 100,000 people per year, and it's been like that for the last 20 odd years. So just under 2 million extra people over the last 25 years, and that is expected to continue. The Mayor's also supported us in delivering the Drain London project, which is using government funds to better understand surface water flood risk primarily. But as part of that work, it has delivered this sort of range of, I think, be fair to say, demonstration projects, and I'll flash up a few slides in a moment showing some of those. And the Mayor has also got quite a wide range of urban greening projects that, by and large, are not specifically designed to be an integrated water management project. They're generally designed to be a park improvement or a streetscape improvement, tree planting, this sort of thing. But a lot of them have got some of those aspects built in. I mean, Maysbrook Park was shown a little bit earlier. 100 pocket parks, many of those have got sort of small pond areas, rain gardens built into them. etc. And we did a little piece of work, just a desktop study earlier this year, to see, well, how much green roof is there now in just the central London area? And the figure we came out with was just over 17 hectares. I think that's about 38 acres, give or take, within the central London area, so the most densely built up bit of London. And personally, I think that's not the end of the story by any means, but certainly quite a significant start. And I'm going to flash through a few examples. Some of these have been built with partly or all funding from this office, from the Mayor's schemes, but by no means all of them. We haven't quite got time to credit anyone. I just want to give you a little flavour. The sorts of things that we're seeing: green roofs and swales built into existing estates, rain gardens and ponds as part of a programme for suds for schools in North London. A green roof on the city, on the Museum of London, right in the heart of the city. Taking up little bits of highway space to put in rain-absorbing bump outs, which I think is a model copied from the States, really. Yeah, I think we've shamelessly copied that, and there's a few sort of examples there. In some cases, just taking away excess areas or slightly unneeded areas of pavement. Green roof on transport depots. This is a London Underground depot in West London. Green roof connected to a rainwater harvesting system in West Ham bus depot, so helps reduce the costs of water for the bus washing. River restoration, the sort of before and after shots, still only completed about just about a year ago, so still taking its time to green up, but hopefully you'll recognise as an improvement. And storing excess water. Permeable pavements, more green roofs, more of the bump outs in boroughs, a little bit of green wall, perhaps not quite as extensive as Paris, but a little bit, again, right in the heart of the city. More depaving and green walls. The bottom one, actually, you can see it. It's about 100 yards behind this office, if you're interested, on Sewell Street. It looks spectacular, and it may be a little hard to see, but these sort of boxes are connected to the downpipes and running gullies all the way across this to irrigate that vegetation, which is actually undercover of that balcony. River restoration, the bottom one Jean showed in her slide, but there was another project that the Environment Agency delivered in South East London. Another Environment Agency project recently completed rainwater diversion in Beckton. The Maysbrook Park scheme, again, you've seen comments, seen an example already. A couple of colleagues from Tower Hamlets here, I'm sure, are very proud of the Derbyshire Street Pocket Park that was opened earlier this year. And a little programme we ran with four schools called Water for Schools, where they took rainwater into a rainwater harvesting system that then went to irrigate the school toilets. So, I mean, hopefully, that's by no means a comprehensive sort of run-through, but hopefully it does give you some reassurance that things are happening in London. I don't think it's resting on laurels time. It's saying, well, it is possible. Most of the sorts of projects that we've been talking about this morning are possible in London and can be done and have been done. We need to get on and do some more. Drain London is doing a little bit more. We've recently agreed to fund the five projects here, part fund, I should clarify. They've all got additional funding from other partners that are doing more of the sort of stuff we've seen already. Rain-absorbing landscaping, green roofs, etc. Perhaps one thing I want to dwell on just for a couple of minutes, you won't quite know what this is because it hasn't been published yet, but I think given the sort of range of experience that certainly I've seen from around the world and we've had summarised today, it's high time that London had its own action plan to move this sort of initiative forward, taking a long-term view. 25 years is my time horizon. looking to see where there are these opportunities coming up at the minute. You know, where is the school playing ground being renovated or relaid? Where is the hospital having its roof repaired or resurfaced? Which housing estates are having a landscaping scheme to improve the setting of them? Which roads and which paths are being relaid, etc.? Finding that information out, tying that up with some evidence of other good case studies from around the UK and around the world, and working with persuading, maybe twisting the arm of the asset owner, if I can use that general term, to say, you need to be looking at how you manage your rainwater, whether it's whether there's possibilities to actively use it for irrigation and other purposes, whether it's more a case of infiltrating, or whether it's a case of just putting in some storage and attenuation and not allowing it to flush straight into the local streams, brooks, or indeed the surface water drainage system. I'm working on this at the moment. I've had some support from the partners there. I think it's going to contain about 50 suggested actions that will come forward, and I'm looking to launch a consultation this autumn to get a wider set of feedback and input into just what that plan should say, if it's going as far as it should. Almost certainly some people will tell me we should be going further, but that will be part of the consultation. Thames Water, I don't want to steal too much thunder, but certainly recently announced that there's a programme called 20 for 20. That's secured some funding over the next 5 years, and that will be aimed at trying to remove surface water from the foul and or combined drainage system. And one of the speakers later may well say a bit more about that, but at the moment there's an active sort of looking around for viable projects that could be invested in. And Thames Water have also been looking at what's called a Green Streets initiative in the London boroughs of Hammersmith and Fulham and Kensington and Chelsea to try and get some of the sort of rain garden approaches into three of the street areas in that location. And really, I want to sort of finish off. We're always going to see new hard surfacing coming forward. I took this one, this picture on my way to the tube station from my house yesterday morning. Not quite finished, actually, but nearly finished. Brand new. This used to be a green garden with a little driveway on it. Now completely covered in that material. But, and I actually stopped and had a word with the guys that were doing this, it is highly permeable. He showed me some of the material, and actually at a meeting a few weeks ago we had a demonstration from someone, a different company actually. But some of these sorts of materials now, although they look impermeable, actually can infiltrate 70,000 litres per hour per square metre, which I'm no engineer, but I think that's quite a lot. Sorry? A hell of a lot, okay. I think we just need to be recognising that the solutions may or may not always be green ones. For some purposes, I'm not quite sure how many cars this guy has got, but he obviously wanted a large driveway. So it may not always be the most obvious things, and they may not always be quite as bad as we might otherwise imagine. Thank you very much.
Thank you.